The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
Good morning all, this is Ryan Tubridy with you on Friday morning. It is the 30th of August 2019, the time at 3 minutes past nine. We're here till 10, 51551 is the text number, and you can email ryan@rte.ie. And as I was shopping yesterday, I said I'd throw into the basket a packet of Tunnock's tea cakes. They're about 10,000-year-old type things, not this particular packet, obviously they were fresh. And I brought them in and I said, lads, I brought in some tea cakes just for after the show, we'll have a cup of coffee. Well, if you saw the noses turned up, a collective look of it, as if to say, broadly speaking, one or two said, yeah. It's like, oh, no, you're grand. What? You know, don't like them. No. Very divisive. Just, if you're going to bring in stuff to share after, be careful, you know, because it's got to be, what goes down well? The raspberry and coconut goes down well, and the coffee cake goes down generally quite well. But that didn't go well. It's like Kimberly McCann and Coconut Queen. Personally, massive fan. But people will just go, no, coconut, no. Turn up your noses. So, yeah, so some of them will go hungry today after the show. And that's nothing I can do about that. I'm loving this email from Niamh in Sandyford in Dublin, because we mentioned a tweet that came in yesterday from a history teacher. He said, I've got 2 weeks to convince them to get into history. And I said, gave her some ideas as to what she might would like to do. And NUIG, the Galway guys, got on to us to say, would you like to come and deliver a sort of lecture on history and making it interesting and so on and so forth? So my answer to that is yes. Some other school got in touch and said, will you? And I'll come back to you on that one, but definitely I'll get down to Galway. I will do it. I just need to get the Late Late Show up and running next Friday, and then we'll let the dust settle on that, and then I'll come down to you, because I'd love to be part of getting them, rallying the troops in that regard. But anyway, one of the suggestions was that I made was show them clips on YouTube, great history clips, and one of the Bobby Kennedy talking to the crowd about Martin Luther King having been assassinated. And Niamh says, I would listen to your recommended list of history tours and videos following yesterday's teacher's email request. She says, I decided to watch the Kennedy speech by Martin Luther King with my teenage daughter, and was started as a why shrug with complete indifference by my sullen teenager before the video changed completely to an hour-long conversation about injustice and an incredulous attitude to racism and divisions in our world today, inspired by the suggestion. A moment to cherish as we surf the waves of teenage angst, and our children are growing up in a new and enriched country surrounded by friends from so many nationalities, and our children don't give it a second thought, and we're being educated by our children. So I wanted to thank you for that suggestion today. Next trip, Glasnevin. Brilliant, Niamh. And I was speaking to Caroline Forn, who you'll know because we spoke to her on this programme about her books on anxiety, and she has a podcast on anxiety, and she asked me would I partake in an interview with her about all of that, mental health and so on. And one of the points I was making to her was that I think people like Niamh's daughter, who she describes as a sullen teenager, there are very few that aren't. It's part and parcel of the human condition when you're that age. So we forgive them all of these things. But one of them is that they talk about mental health in a way that, you know, my generation really never did. And I'm quite hopeful for their generation in that regard, that they won't have that same sense of, don't talk about that, we don't talk about that, keep it to yourself, you'll get over it, or get over yourself, that kind of thing. So here's hoping that that's a different thing. Generational struggles continue. As you know, there's protesting going on in Hong Kong. In fact, there's protests seem to be increasing in London and the UK, broadly speaking, after the extraordinary week they've had there. But according to one of the papers this morning, if you try to stream the album Les Mis, the Les Mis album, now I'd be very fond of that musical because it was done as one of the girls that had a school play, so she was part of it. And so it stayed with us. It was in the car all the time. And I like the music. I like the songs. Love Colin Wilkinson and what he did with the dance through the years. I have a fondness for it. It goes on forever. It's really grim, but the tunes are great. And if you try to stream the Les Mis album in China and you just want to listen to the album, that's fine. But what you'll do now is you'll hear that there are two songs missing from it. Two pieces have been essentially erased from the album by the Chinese authorities. The song is this one. Okay, I'll just play a little clip of it. If you know the music, you know what I'm talking about. But this is considered to be incendiary enough that it's banned from being downloaded in Hong Kong. Isn't this extraordinary? This is the song.
Do you hear the people sing, singing the song of angry men? This is the music of a people who will not be slaves again. When the beating of your heart echoes the beating of the drums, there is a life about to summon tomorrow.
Yeah, that's a little take from Do You Hear the People. If you listen to the lyrics there, you'll have heard it about the people being quietened and shut up, and it's rebellion. So that song and the reprise of that song are missing from the from multiple albums on one of the biggest streaming sites there. And the song is about Parisians rebelling against their rulers and has been scrubbed from the original London cast recording and has also vanished from the 10th and 25th anniversary albums and from the soundtrack of the 2012 film adaptation. And Beijing's censors are closely monitoring Hong Kong, where pro-democracy protesters began marching in June. It's just a little subplot to that story that to me is quite a big thing, that the Big Brother thing, phenomenon, is very much alive and very unwell in countries around the world. And that's one such example. It's only thinking, Colin Wilkinson had a beautiful album called Stage Heroes. Did you ever hear that one? And it was, I used to play it quite a lot, but I'd lost it. And you can download it, but what I was looking for, and maybe if anyone could give me a little help here, find it. I'm looking for a vinyl copy of it. So if you've got it, if you're a charity shop or whatever, I would love to buy it from you. So if you have one, Stage Heroes by C.T. Wilkinson, I'd love it. I saw him singing recently at a small event, but his voice was just extraordinary, and he's somebody who I hope and wish will tour again soon, because he just is in fine voice, and he should be going nowhere but to the nearest stage and sing the way he sings and has done for years. Well done to these Irish students. A group of Irish students have taken top prize at an international technological design competition. So what they did was they developed a device that helps older people and those with disability issues to get up from a seated position, which is pretty impressive. The mobility device helps people to get from a seated position independently, a feature absent from normal walking frames. Its handles lower to the user's seated waist height and raised to provide helpful upward force while standing up. So that's it. The students are from the Cork Institute of Technology, operating as Team Stride Tech, and they developed the device with mobility issues to get up, as I say. So who are they? Give them a nod. The leader is Muireann Hickey. Well done. And Product Advancement Coordinator Kevin Hayes took first place and gold medal for the device at the Global Student Innovation Challenge held in Canberra, Australia. So well done to them. That was a great result. Now, what are we going to do about those little shampoo, conditioner, bath wash little bottles in the hotels and bed and breakfasts and places around the world? Because as we're now so plastic aware, you do look at them and think, lads, they're now feeling a bit archaic. They're probably going to have to go. And sure enough, the move is on. The world's largest hotel chain has announced it is stopping them in single-use plastic bottles. That's not to say that you won't be able to get shampoo and conditioner and things in your hotel room. It'll just be in those press here thing, which I presume aren't great, but you know what? Just bring your own if you don't like them. But it makes great sense. This, they reckon, will keep 1.7 million pounds of plastic. Imagine, maybe 500 million tiny bottles. Think of that amount. Will stop and not be in rubbish dumps every year. Shower gel, shampoo and conditioner will be provided in rooms by refillable dispensers. That makes great sense. And then this is Marriott, and this follows a similar move by Intercontinental Hotels, are doing the same thing. I think it'll become cute to see these little bottles in about maybe 5 years' time, maybe three, where you'll just go, God, remember those little things you used to get in hotels? They are going to be the past. As possibly will foie gras. Now, this is, foie gras is something I've never eaten before. I don't want it. But apparently New York City is considering banning sales of it. And what they're doing, they're considering legislation that would ban sales of force-fed birds, as well as all forms of the rich delicacy made from their engorged livers in the city's restaurants. And I suppose it's appropriate to say, to read this piece, which tells you what it is. If you don't know what foie gras is, it's often made by duck and geese, having tubes inserted into their throats, and this forces them to consume far more grain than they would naturally eat, and this fattens their livers by up to 10 times their normal size. So one of the people looking for this said the life cycle of American foie gras ducks are short and agonising in the final weeks. By their last week, the birds have become so ill that their physical condition and degree of suffering arguably place them in violation of the state's anti-cruelty laws. Adding that the industry represents a minuscule fraction of New York's agricultural economy. However, the proposal has come in for criticism, with opponents suggesting that lawmakers are guilty of focusing on high-end products while overlooking genuine animal welfare concerns in the food production industry. So worth probably a mention there. And one more piece, because Peaky Blinders this current season is, like, as I said the other day, like a Vanity Fair cover come to life. It is a thing of great beauty. And a piece in the Irish Daily Mail today says that with two of the television acting world's most prestigious stars as parents, you might expect to live a charmed life. But Damian Lewis, who was just incomparable in Band of Brothers as Captain Winners, and he's now in Billions, which I didn't get into, but I'm told is brilliant. They've come clean, and Helen McCrory, of course, who plays Polly in Peaky Blinders, they've refused to buy a dishwasher. Why do they refuse to buy a dishwasher? They didn't want their son and daughter to get lazy. He's a Homeland star. Damian Lewis, 48, worth of nearly 10 million euro. And they have two children with Peaky Blinders actress, 51. And their children are called Manon, 12. And check out child number two's name, Gulliver, if you don't mind. God, I hope he doesn't develop a complex with that name. We've only just got a dishwasher, because I would scream and shout and say, I want the kids to realise that you have to buy the food and cook the food and eat the food and then wash up, according to Miss McCrory. Also revealed that she worries her children aren't rebellious enough. That's interesting, if you don't want them to be rebellious. But some kids are into it and some kids don't. I was talking to a friend of mine recently whose son is about 16 years old, and all his friends want to go drinking all the time, constantly. And he says that his son is turning around going, I'm just not into it. I don't want to. So either I want to wait, or I'm not into drinking. But because either it's an Irish thing or it's a societal thing, it's a lot of, it's what you could call beer pressure. It's just there. And you're going, I don't want to. He's obviously just a good kid, just not into it. But in Ireland, if you're not into it, that makes you the exception. You know, even though he's going for the healthy option. Strange one. Strange class of pressure altogether. I was questioned last night by the CSO, the Central Statistics Office, because they call around, lovely man, Seamus called around. It was a random, you know, householder. Can we ask you a few questions over there? I said, yeah. So he told me that there's loads of them all around the country knocking on door. And they do a great service, I think, just from the Central Statistics Office, knocking on the door and getting the questions and accumulating all this knowledge and information for us all. So I said I'd say good morning to Seamus and all his colleagues and who are knocking on doors around the country today, gathering all that information so that we can learn more about ourselves. The text number this morning is 51551. We've a lot to get through. So let's start with, it's not a Queen song you'd hear an awful lot on the radio, but if I could play the piano, I'd love to be able to play it like Freddie Mercury, in fairness.